We're continuing our study in Luke chapter 11. So if you want to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 11, verse 5 through 8, if you have one. And the first point is that there are great opportunities through persistent prayer. Do you think that prayer unlocks God's power?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And why does God have us go to Him in prayer when He already knows what our needs are? He already knows what our desires are. He already knows everything that there is. So why can't we just go on and go, hey, you know, you already know everything. I don't need to pray. And yet He commissions us and challenges us and even commands us to pray and to rely on Him. And there's the key. Without prayer, we don't learn to rely on Him. Without prayer, we don't grow in faith in that area as we should, realizing the power of prayer. And in that, we don't realize the wonder of who God is. And so when God does something, if we haven't been praying, we don't give Him the acknowledgement or the praise, or do we receive that blessing as He would intend for us to. And so prayer does open up great opportunities, but it has to be persistent. Sometimes we can pray and things will just happen just quickly in response. I prayed that last week, or I prayed that today, I prayed that this morning, and God just took care of it. And I've had things in my own daily walk where something will pop in my mind and I say, Lord, I'm concerned about this. Please take care of it. And next thing I know, in the middle of the day, he's taking care of it. And God reminds me of that and I thank Him for it. But other times I can pray, it's like, Lord, I don't have an answer yet. Or You haven't resolved this yet. Or I know that I have to continue to pray. And we're not to get tired in persistent prayer. Because when we're persistent, it shows God how serious we are to rely on Him. And that persistency says this: I'm not going to stop praying until this situation is resolved and You've taken care of it. And that's kind of brazen, isn't it? And yet that's what God wants us to do. So Luke chapter 11, 5 through 8, He said, and He said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Now here the culture was that if you had a guest come in, you take him, the guest might be a stranger. But you have a guest come in, and the guest, you just feed them, and you lodge them, and you take care of them. And in this particular instance, in this parable, this particular person had a friend that came to him at midnight. And to say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. The friend came to his house. He has nothing, no food to give him. So the person in the house goes to another friend at midnight and says, hey, I don't have any food. Give me some bread to feed him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. Now, don't misunderstand when he says, my children are with me in bed. I mean, there are some instances you might think, well, you've even seen it in movies, we're all piled in the same bed and sleeping, and you know, old days, whatever. But in this particular instance, the children, the parents, and the servants all slept in one room. Might have been different beds in one room, but they're all in one room. And so for this head of the household to get up in the middle of the night, he would have to disturb all the household, because no matter where we are in the world, midnight's inconvenient, isn't it? Again, in verse 7, and he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. He already made the determination, I can't do what you want. When in reality, he could, but it was inconvenient. Right? In verse 8, it says, I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is a friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Here's this guy in the house, receives a guest, doesn't have food for him, goes to another friend, knocks on the door at midnight saying, give me some bread. He says, I can't. My family's up in the room sleeping. I can't disturb them all. But he kept being persistent. Now, first of all, if I went to someone's house and knocked on their door at midnight, whether you love me or not, you'd probably be irritated. Like, what's going on? To say that I've heard your request, I can't help you, go away. And yet you're still banging on the door. No, I need you to help me. That's a statement of that persistence in the Greek means shamelessness. In other words, you would think he'd be ashamed that he would go on being persistent, knocking on the door when the owner said, No, I don't want nothing to do. You just go home. I'm not going to help you. But you would think even manners would dictate, okay, I have to respect his request. Nope. In this particular instance, manners was out the window. Concern for what he said was out the window. Everything that came to him that said no was out the window. And he continued to knock on the door. Now, the parable is that we continue to go to God in prayer, right? And in verse 8, again, it says, I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he's a friend. I'm not going to give you food because you're a friend of mine. Yet because he's persistent, or rather annoying, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Okay, the only way I can get you to be quiet and stop being annoying so I can go to sleep is just give you what you want. Right? So there's a human equation there that is an effect in this relationship. And Jesus is saying you need to be persistent in your prayers where he's leading. Persistency, let me just share with you for a moment. In our own practical prayer life, why should we just keep, is it empty persistency? What I mean by that is when we go to God in prayer and say, God, this is the need. God, this is the need. God, this is the need. And we keep praying and praying and praying. That might be the case where we keep saying, okay, I've got this huge mountain, this huge challenge in front of me, and I need you to take care of it because I don't know how. I don't have the resource. I don't have the ability to get this obstacle out of me, but you do, Lord, and we continue to seek him. But there are times when things are put in front of us, maybe for direction. You know, we're saying, God, direct me on this. I need an answer. And God says, be persistent. Almost shamelessly come to my door all the time and just knock, 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 knock in prayer. But what happens when we're persistent in prayer? We start analyzing why we're asking. And we start hearing God say to us things that we need to think about. And so there's a analyzing that takes place in persistent prayer. Why do I keep going to the Lord in prayer? Because, fill in the blank. And God says, have you thought about this? And he begins to teach us. So persistency teaches us where our heart is, where our focus is, what God wants, and we continue to knock on the door because the need is still there. But he adjusts our perspective also through persistency. And so he gives us the insights that we need through persistency. I mean, he just said, God, take care of this or whatever. We might not learn what God wants us to learn. We might not gain the insights that he wants us to have. So through that persistency, kind of like a trial, going through the trial, we learn things that we wouldn't necessarily learn if we didn't go through the trial, right? Filling in your blank in the bulletin said, God wants us to be persistent in prayer and diligently seeking him. So don't give up on your prayer. We need to remember that when we're praying, well, God doesn't care, or God doesn't hear, or God isn't responding, therefore, I'm going to quit praying. No, he's our Heavenly Father. He loves us immeasurably. He knows our need. He's not answering us the way we need him to right away because there's a reason. He wants to teach us some insight and ideas that we wouldn't get otherwise. And we continue to pray until we know in our spirit, in our heart of heart, in our own soul, that God is taking care of it. He might say, be at peace about it, let it go. He might say, here's the answer. He might simply resolve the situation. It's a moot point. I don't need to pray about it no more. But we need to continue in that and know that God will take care of it in his way, in his time, and be faithful to that in prayer. Secondly, God gives us good things through prayer. God doesn't give us bad things through prayer. God doesn't say, you know what, I'm going to fix your wagon just because I have a sense of humor. I'm going to give you this because I know it's going to shake you up. God knows what we need, and he always gives us what's good. Romans 8:28 is very clear, isn't it? For all things work to the good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. It's a little bit different directive in that verse compared to prayer, because in this particular instance, we know that whatever answer God gives to us, we can resolve in our own heart before God that it's good. If he says wait, it's good. If he says no, it's good. If he says yes, it's good. If he says this is what I want you to do, it's good. Whatever he gives us, it's good. He'll never, ever give us anything that's not good. Because he's holy, he's just, he is love, and he loves us more than we ever could know. That's just the reality. So in Luke 11, 9 through 13, continuing on in this parable, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you." Hey, you got a need? If we haven't asked God, that's kind of our problem. It's not hard to ask God. Sometimes we don't know how to ask Him. We don't know how to formulate it. Let's just say, for example, that we're struggling with wrong thoughts. We might be embarrassed by wrong thoughts. "There hath no temptation taken you but such that is common to man," right? So we all have different thoughts that pop in our head that isn't appropriate, that we don't like. But let's say that Satan just keeps, or our own flesh, one of the two, just keeps hammering us on those thoughts, trying to shake them. What we need to do is not be so embarrassed about it that we can't talk to God about it. We need to be humble before God and be very direct with Him and say, "God, you already know what's going on in this warfare, but spell it out, no matter how ugly it is, in prayer to Him, and then give it to Him." Because He's not going to reject us. He's going to always receive us because we're His children. He's saying, ask. This is a request. It's a petition. And here's a word in the Greek, it's a demand. But demand is, for us, demand says in English, authoritative, and I'm taking authority over you, God, and I demand that you do this. That's not what it means. It means the demand is something that must be done. God, something has to be done here. I mean, that's just a reality. Something has to be done because I don't have the answer, and you've got to do something. See, that's the type of asking God wants us to have sometimes. "So I say to you, and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you." If we seek, we're seeking God with desire. We're searching for something. If we knock, that's a determination, like the shameless man at the door that says, "I'm going to beat the door with a stick to gain admittance. I'm going to keep hitting, I'm going to keep pursuing, I'm going to keep seeking, I'm going to keep knocking, I'm going to keep, if I have to bang on the door, I am not going to let up till this is resolved, God." Does God resent that? Not like the man did in the parable. God doesn't resent it at all, because He takes pleasure in knowing that we rely on Him, depend upon Him, call upon Him, and learn from Him. We are to be persistent. And again, the word is shameless in the Greek. That means at all costs, keep praying. At all costs, keep praying. Verse 11, "If a son asks for bread from any father among you and will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, of a sinful nature, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Now you're saying, well, that's just a whole different picture, Pastor. Knock, seek, ask and be persistent, all these types of things, so that we can receive the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus is talking about, getting saved. But Matthew, in a similar manner, records this, and he says something different. It says, Matthew 7, 11 through 12, it says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven," what's it say? "Give good things to those who ask Him." We have another example that not only is the door a person that's seeking salvation, keep knocking. You know, a person says, "I don't get it, I don't understand, but I'm interested and I'm curious." You be persistent, you encourage those lost friends to keep. I heard it once said, you know, God's light is shining on you. Keep following that light and you will find what God has for you as an unbeliever following the light, the Holy Spirit that's knocking on your heart. Be persistent. But as a believer, like in Matthew, it says, be just as persistent and know that God will give us good things. So there's a parallel there to those who ask Him. "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law of the prophets." Now, that's kind of a weird additive to the verse, isn't it? It's talking about prayer and seeking God, and God will only give good gifts to us, right? For those who ask. We got to ask. Then all of a sudden he says, now put it to practice. Put it to practice. He says, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law of the prophets. Here's how you put it in practice. God gives the Holy Spirit to anyone who asks. Encourage them to pursue that. And number two, God gives good gifts to those who ask. And so if we're going to do likewise, going back to verse 12, then we're going to share the gospel with people, and we're going to do good to others. Because God led us to him, and he does good to us. So we're to lead others to Christ and do good to them. Why? Because God the Father gave us his Spirit. We sought, we knocked, we pursued. God, I really believe this gospel message, and I can feel you working on my heart, and I'm ready to receive you as my Savior. Please come into my heart. We're still asking, and God says, okay. And he comes in. We ask for those things that God has that put on our heart for us to be praying about. Needs that we have that draw us to him, to call on his name. And he gives good gifts to us in return. He responds not just appropriately, but in a way that's best for us. And so we're to give good gifts to those that are around us as well. Do good to others. So likewise, share the gospel and do good to others. Thirdly, persistency in prayer gains favor from Jesus. Sounds a little redundant to what we've already said, but just look at it. In Luke 18, 1 through 8, jumping a little forward in the book of Luke as we study it, Luke chapter 18, 1 through 8 says, "Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart." The devil wants to convince us that God doesn't care. The devil wants to convince us that my prayer is not effective. The devil wants to convince us that if God doesn't answer quickly, then he doesn't care as well. He'll convince us to do whatever we can to stop praying because he knows that prayer is powerful. It's powerful in our own walk with Jesus. It's powerful as we together as believers pray. And so he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. So that should be part of our Christian walk on a regular basis, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. So it's an unbeliever, an unjust, if you will, an unjust judge as well. "Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, 'Get justice for me from my adversary.'" She had a problem. There was an adversary against her. For a woman to go to a judge was very unusual for that day. For a woman to speak for herself was unusual for that day. But she had no husband. She had no children. She had no income. She had no resources. She had to take the bull by the horns and go herself before the judge. And so she says, "Get justice for me from my adversary." And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within him, in himself, "Though I do not fear God nor regard man," and here we go again, "yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her." In other words, I will give her what she needs. We think of avenge as retaliation. We think of revenge as doing harm to somebody. That might be part of what avenge is in the dictionary, but the secondary part is having that need met, justice met. And so, verse 7 again, "And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them?" That's the emphasis here. That God, who is the good judge, right, will answer the prayers of the saints. Let me read verse 6 and 7 again. "Then the Lord said, 'Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them?'" No matter how long we have to pray, God will take care of the need. And we can diffuse Satan's lies. "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily." That's how I read that and I go, "Lord, what do you mean by speedily? Your time isn't our time." But he will take care of it. "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" That's what God wants. Persistent prayer is a reflection of faith in God. And what he's also saying is that in the last days, there'll be less and less persistency in prayer. There'll be less and less faith in prayer. There'll be less and less dependency on God. And the Lord says, will I find faith on earth? So, the persistent widow cried out day and night. God loves us, unlike the unjust judge. How much more will God respond in better ways to our persistent prayers? And the persistent widow had great faith. We're to do the same thing. We're to do the same thing. James 1, 6 through 8, which we were looking at during Sunday school, which I thought was interesting. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. Now here's a dilemma in the scripture that we've heard from other brothers and sisters in Christ. He said, look, I had a pastor once, and I think I've told you this before, maybe some of you probably haven't heard this, but I was up in Placerville, and there was a funeral going on, and their casket's out in front, and the pastor said from the pulpit, the reason she's dead is because she didn't have enough faith. Wrong. Out of context. Out of context. Because faith is believing in what God has already told us. Now let me explain that for a moment. If I'm in prayer and I want something and what I want is not in line with God's will, I know in my spirit that I'm barking up the wrong tree, so to speak. That I'm speaking up against the concrete wall. That I know that what I'm asking is not what God wants me to ask. It's not in His will. There are times when God says, you can pray for something, and I will give you the answer. The answer is, I'll heal you. That was the answer. Or the other is, you're coming home with me. God even tells us for the believer that precious in the sight of the eyes of the Lord is the death of His saints. Weird, isn't it? But God's saying, I can't wait for you to come up here and be with me. It's precious to Him. And so for us to say we didn't have enough faith, that's why we died, that's wrong. But when we know when we're praying in a manner that is consistent with the Holy Spirit's leading in our heart, that takes a little persistency to be in tune to what God is saying. It takes a determination that says, God, this is my heart, and this is what I'm thinking. And while we're praying that, we're listening to God and we're going, is this in agreement with you? Am I praying out of line? Is this something that you've put on my heart? Is this something that's pleasing and acceptable to you? When we're praying that way, then we know that we're praying in line with God's will. You know, we can use other examples. But that's the persistency. What about the shamelessness of banging on the door at night? When God wakes us up in the middle of the night, or we wake up in the middle of the night, what should we do? Pray. Seek the face of the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm awake for some reason. Either you woke me up, or I woke up, but in either case, I'm going to spend this time seeking you in prayer. For what? For the things that are burdening your heart. And what scripture say? Cast your burdens upon me, for I care for you. Right? So we keep giving it to Him. You ever have that where you pray and you give it to Him, and then the next thing you know, the burden is crushing your spirit? It's like you give and you try to let go, and you have a little sense of release from that anxiety. You've given it. Next thing you know, you've got that anxiety again. We continue to give it back to God, give it back to God, give it back to God, trust God to work it out. Because the reason why we have anxiety is because it's fear. So getting back to James 1, 6 through 8, it says again, it says, but let him ask in faith. You see, that's the consistency in our spirit, in our own soul, that says, what I'm asking, I know is pleasing to God, not displeasing to Him. I know it's in line with the Holy Spirit, not in opposition to Him. I know it's not selfish in regard of seeking myself, but it is in the desire that I will be in God's will and that He will be glorified. So, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. Here's the reason for that. Go on. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. So is it wrong to say, so here's the thing. It's almost like prosperity preaching, which is real popular today, which is not biblical. Is, I believe by faith that I'm going to be rich because I did this. And I'm not going to doubt that. And it'll come to pass because of that. That's out of context. But if we're praying and we're in sync with the Holy Spirit and we know what we're praying is not offensive to God, but it is in line with God, then we can continue to pray in the Spirit. That's what Scripture says. And we're praying in the Spirit, and our spirit in line with the Holy Spirit, following Him, and then not to doubt it. Say, God, I'm not going to doubt your ability. I'm not going to doubt your grace. What are we really doing? Are we praying? The prosperity preacher is saying, if you have faith and don't doubt, then you're going to get the end result. What's the focus on? The end result. What should the focus be on? The process of dependency on God. The focus on God to see how He's working things out. The desire to see Him and Him glorified, not the result that we want. See, that's real important. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. That's Jesus speaking, saying, do not have the wrong heart, but believe in me and sync with me, and ask and you shall receive. Right? He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. If we doubt, we're unstable. If we doubt, if we say, God, I don't believe you can do that, but in the back of my mind, I want you to do that, but I don't believe you can do that, God's saying, too bad. Makes sense to me. The key is not believing, and your insert, filling in the blanks, the key is not believing in an outcome that you want when you pray, but rather it is having faith in God because of His love. His wisdom, His character, and ability to do what is right and best, and His response to your need that you have prayed about. Developing our faith in God, seeing how God is working, knowing that, you know, there's something of great value when in our prayer time, in our assessment of situations, when we check, Blackaby says, check the scriptures to see if we're, our thinking and our directives are in line with Him. Check with the Holy Spirit what He's saying. Check with the circumstances that surround you. Check with God's people that God puts around you. All these things give a consistent direction that is an agreement together that God is working. When we see God working and stirring things up in our own personal lives or wherever, we can believe and know that God is working something on our behalf, but it's not necessarily a comfortable road to go. Are you willing to cry out night and day and be persistent, trusting in God's love and answer? Because sometimes that's what it takes. Persistency says, I've got this burden, I'm keep giving it back to you, I'm going to pray through the day, I'm going to pray at night, when I wake up, or wherever. I'm going to keep praying. And do you exhibit great faith in God through your prayer life? Do not doubt what our Heavenly Father can do. Do not doubt that our Heavenly Father loves us and has our best interest. Do not doubt that God doesn't know what our needs are. Do not doubt that God has the perfect plan. Do not doubt that our prayers that are in line with God are not effective. But our prayers are, and He is. Therefore, there is great value in your insert. There's great value in persistent prayer by being determined to find relief for our needs through faith in Jesus. When God answers the prayer, resolves the situation, is there not relief? The burden is now gone. God has taken care of it. Like I said in the beginning, it becomes a mute issue because it's resolved. and we can praise God for it. The thing is, God doesn't resolve it always the way we expect. And we have to trust him that he always gives what's good. So be persistent in your prayers. Know that even when you don't know what to say, just say, God, I don't know what to say. But you know my heart and what's going on. Please, and just ask the Holy Spirit to intercede for you. And say, God, the Holy Spirit, I need you to pray for me. Because I don't know how to pray about this. Or have you ever prayed and it just doesn't seem to be put out right? I'm trying to put it out right, but it doesn't seem to effectively convey itself the way I would like it to. It's okay. You say, God, you understand, and I'm trusting in you to take care of it. So let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. I want to thank you, Father, for the challenge of your word to be persistent in prayer, to learn about your hand, your will, your power, your ways, working in our life and answering and providing those needs that are needed, and then trusting you to accomplish things the way you want to in them. So, Father, help us to be faithful. Help us to be those few that you find faithful to you in prayer, in obedience, in desire for you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.